Why is it that we seek after God's guidance? It's because of faith. Faith in God that He will guide us in the right direction. Faith comes in many, it's involved in many ways in our lives. Relationships, we were talking about 13 years of marriage. There's faith involved. Faith involved in each other. Being able to depend on one another. As Roger and Patty will find out, being able to depend upon one another. For some of us have been married several years. We know how important that is in a relationship. But even more importantly, faith is vitally important in our relationship with God. That's why I want us to look, and we'll begin our lesson this morning in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew 14, the setting is set where Jesus has sent His disciples to cross the sea in a boat on their journey back home after His great sermon. But Jesus had decided to stay behind for a little while and go into a mountain to Himself and pray, as He did many times. And as we begin in verse 23, we see here, it says, "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the high mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there," it says. "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water.' So He said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he also walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid," it says. "And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus," it says, "stretched out His hand, caught him, and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, 'Truly You are the Son of God.'" The one thing we can note here is that if we keep our eyes on the Lord, resting assured of the guidance that God will give us, we will not sink. But here we have a perfect example of what happens many times in our lives, where we lose sight of God, we become scared, we become afraid because of things going on around us, and we take our eyes off of the Lord, and we begin to sink. But rest assured, Jesus is there. And if we call unto Him, He will save us. I want us to consider today our own faith. Could we be like Peter? Is there times in our lives where our faith is not as strong as it should be? I can rest assured that I would say that for all of us, we have room for improvement. To strengthen our faith, to make it stronger than it ever was before. Whenever we look at Hebrews chapter 11, I use this passage quite a bit at home because it is so important to see the examples that are given here in this particular chapter of the book of Hebrews. We begin in verse 1 and it says, "Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's what faith is. God has given us something to hope for. A home in heaven. We've not seen it. We've not even seen the Lord Himself. You know, one of the things, whenever we go back to Matthew there real quickly, recognizing that His disciples, they witnessed many miracles at the hands of their Lord. But yet we see that their faith was not as strong. Which should tell us that even though we cannot witness with our own eyes, we still need that same faith, and even more. Here, the evidence of things not seen. We hope for it. We can read through the Scriptures and we read about the plan that God set in order in the Garden of Eden. And resting assured as we see all of His plan unveil before us, and having the faith that all things will come about and just as God has established it. We look in certain passages, and I'm not going to read all of this, but just notice there, verse 4, by faith Abel. Abel did exactly as God had commanded. Why? Because he had faith in God. In verse 5, by faith Enoch. It says he walked with God. Enoch did not face death because of his faith in God. In verse 7, it talks about Noah, the faith of Noah. Against such opposition, and yet he built the ark according to God's will, never seeing rain coming from heaven, but resting assured if God said it, it was going to happen. In verse 8, by faith Abraham. And there, a lot of the passages here deal with Abraham and Sarah. He was commanded to leave his home, his established residence, and to become a nomad, traveling about where God sent him. By faith, he offered his son as a sacrifice, resting assured that God would fulfill his promise through his seed, though. God stayed his hand as we read of it. And going on down, and you can just read the many other passages and the many other examples of the faith of these people, of Jacob and Joseph and of Moses, as we read on through. Why are they there? Why were they written? To strengthen our faith. To give us an example to reach for. This is the kind of faith that God is looking for in each and every one of us. But sadly to say, we see that a lot of times our faith is not commendable to God. In 2 Corinthians there, notice verses 13 through 13 verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And we find here, notice he says here, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Don't be looking at everyone else and thinking, well, their faith is not as good as mine. I'm better than them. My faith is stronger than theirs. We need to examine ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and say, how strong is my faith? What do I need to do to strengthen my faith? Here we find it says, don't examine everyone else. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, he says. Again, we find in Ephesians there, and turning over to that passage, and he talks about this area of strength and improvement in chapter 2. And notice in verses 8 through 10 there, where he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of ourselves. It's the grace. It's the gift of God, he says. God has given us this salvation. Not that we've earned it by any means, but is our faith in Him. As he says in verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because he says, we are His workmanship. We are created, he says, in Christ Jesus for good works. Our purpose for being here on this earth. As the great writer Solomon said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We are created for this purpose. We are created to be doing good works, works that are authorized by God. We do them because of our faith in God, which he says there, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then we also read in Acts chapter 26, and we notice here again just a similarity here to what we've already read. But notice there in chapter 26, 17 and 18, we find Jesus saying this. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. To open their eyes, he says to Paul. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And notice there, an inheritance among those who are sanctified, set apart, through what? By faith in me. Our faith, why we are here today. Our faith draws us here. Our faith draws us to God's Word. When we pray to God, do we pray with doubt? Or do we pray with full faith in God that He will hear our prayers and answer them according to His will? When Kyle prayed for us this morning, many sick that he mentioned there, why do we pray for the sick? Because we recognize that God and His power is far greater than any medical doctor on this earth or any medicine that has ever been discovered. We pray with full faith in our hearts and no doubt. Does this describe my faith? Or when I pray, do I have doubt? When I come to services, is there some doubts in my mind? If so, we need to be testing ourselves and investigating, and as it says, to examine ourselves and become stronger. I want us today to think about four different kinds of faith that are mentioned in the Bible. We find that it talks about, and of course in James chapter 2, we find there that it talks about a dead faith. A dead faith, for it says there in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so then faith without works is dead also. We have to have a working faith. How can anyone know? As you read in James chapter 2, one of the examples there written there is, how does anyone know about my faith without something that they can observe? That's where the works comes in. And then also we need to recognize that those works have to be according to God's will, authorized by God. And we'll get to that here in just a little while. But recognizing here that just having faith alone is not enough. The one thing that motivates us to do the things that the Lord has asked us to do. You know, my wife and I, we've been watching, we've watched all the way through it now. It's a movie called The Chosen. And we've seen through the whole thing. Of course, you know, you've got to recognize that, you know, these filmmakers and everything, they kind of put fill-ins in everywhere. But for the most part, it follows the Scripture. But the one thing that stood out in my mind was, and just recognizing, even though it's written in Scripture, and here are these men that never met Jesus before in their lives. They had heard about the coming of a Messiah, they'd never seen Him. And yet when He said, come and follow me, they dropped everything that they were doing at that moment and followed after Him. That took a great faith. A faith in Him. We read about how that Jesus sent them out two by two to spread His message. How they went by themselves without Him in their presence. That took great faith. And here the Lord is telling us today, our command is to spread the gospel, to assist, to encourage others that are around us, to see what the Lord has to say and to try to assist in bringing them to the Lord. There's no room for any fear. We've got to be doing as God has commanded us, with great faith that all will be as God has commanded. In John chapter 15 and verse 2, it says there, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He says He takes it away. You know, we just had, my wife and I, we had our tree in the front yard trimmed. I was wanting them to cut the thing down because it looked dead to me. But the tree expert came and he said, no, there's a lot of life left in this tree. But what is happening is, there's dead branches all over that are just sucking the nutrition away from the good branches. Well, when he said that, it made me think of this passage. Our Lord and Savior is the true vine. We are the branches. But those that are not working, those that are not being fruitful, are taking away from those who are trying to be fruitful and productive. And so what does He say here? He says simply, they need to be taken away. Why? Because they're dead. They're not being fruitful. They're not being profitable. So they need to be taken away so that that which is trying can be more fruitful and more profitable. So the thing that I'm trying to get you to see here, and the Lord is trying to get us to see here, is that a non-working faith, or a faith that is not fruitful, is dead. If it's dead, it's worthless. It's not useful. I need to ask myself, is that the kind of faith that I have? And if so, what do I need to do to change it? Another kind of faith that is read about in the Scriptures is a demonic faith. I'm not talking about satanic worshiping and all this. But what I am saying is James chapter 2 again, going back over to that book, we find in verse 19 that it talks about you believe that there is one God. Notice what he says there. He says you do well. But also notice what he says in the latter part. Even the demons believe and tremble. Those evildoers, they believe in God and they tremble. Sadly to say, though, they are still not believing enough to be the true followers that they should be. Does this describe my faith? As we find, even the demons, they recognize that Jesus was the Son of God and is the Son of God in our present lives. There are demons out there that believe. But rebelliously, they choose the wrong master. They choose to follow after the wrong being. We find in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says there, no one can serve two masters. It's impossible to be done. We cannot serve them. They go in different directions. They will pull us in opposite ways. We cannot serve two masters. We need to believe in the true God, and not only believe in Him, but be obedient unto Him. One of the things we see there in James 2:19 is it says they believe and they tremble. Yes, there's fear in their hearts. But it's not enough to cause them to obey. Again, I ask the question, is this my faith? Does this describe the kind of faith that I have? That I go around and I truly believe there is a God. I believe in God. And I'm even to the point of fearful of that God because I can read about the severity of God. But I'm still not willing to obey. I want to go in a different direction. What about vain faith? This kind of faith is described in the Scriptures there in Matthew chapter 7. In verses 21 through 23, where we see there, notice there it says, "Not many that say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Again, the recognition is there of a higher being, God. But notice what he says. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And it goes on to talk about the many different works that they do, wonderful works, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But is it really? Is it according to His will? If it was according to His will, then the next verse that's written, we find Jesus saying, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Why are they workers of iniquity? A lot of different religious believers believe in their good works that their great works that they're doing, their wonderful works that they're doing. But unfortunately, it's not according to the authority that Christ has given. And sadly to say, they will hear in that day, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Why? Because it was not authorized by Christ. Jesus has given us everything. Every instruction possible. It's up to us to follow those instructions. Not to add anything. Not to think that, this work here, it's such a wonderful work, I'm sure the Lord would be pleased with it. If it's not according to His instructions, then we're going beyond what He has told us. And our faith becomes vain. As it says here, responding to Him as Lord, saying a prayer from time to time. Some people think, well, that's well enough. That secures my salvation. Does it really? Or maybe giving a contribution here and there. Will it save me? These are things we need to think about. Sometimes we go through the motions, but our faith is really not as strong as it should be. As I put here, we must be active according to His will and His will only. Doing the things not just because we feel compelled to do it, but doing it because we are joyful to do it. We find in our giving, He instructs us that way. We're not to do it by obligation. We're not to be doing it regretfully, but be doing it cheerfully, He says. All because we have full faith in our Lord. So once again, I need to ask myself, is this a description of my faith? But there is one faith that we find. One faith that is proven through the test of time. And that is saving faith. This is the faith that truly is pleasing to God. This is the kind of faith that will give us the eternal life in heaven. This is the faith that will save our souls. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or has faith in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a great sacrifice of love that our God gave us. It was mentioned in class about the grace of God. We sung the song this morning, "Amazing Grace." Have you ever stopped to think about just how much grace God has demonstrated unto each and every one of us? The very fact that He has given us life. But we take so much for granted. We don't think about these things as often as we should. And so we find ourselves with a weak faith. These are the things that build up our faith. Recognizing how God so loved us. The great sacrifice of His Son upon a cross. The willingness of His Son to come to this earth. He was deity in heaven. And yet He came to this earth. He lived as a man. He suffered. He struggled as a man. And even suffered through the persecutions and the final death upon that cross. Why? Because He loved us. Just as His Father loves us. He went to that cross willingly, knowing that through Him, we would all have salvation in our faith in Him. We find in Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn your Bibles over there to Ephesians chapter 2, and we find here again just this great demonstration of faith that he's referring to here in verses 8 through 10. And as we mentioned it earlier on in the lesson, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." The grace of God saves us by our faith in Him. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, it takes our doings out of the equation. And all it leaves is the grace of God. What causes me to obey God? My faith. I believe wholly in everything that God says. I will obey Him to everything that He has commanded. As it says there again, we are His workmanship. We are created for a purpose, to serve Him, to love Him, be obedient unto Him throughout this life, so that we can have that home in heaven, joint heirs with Christ. As I put here, living by this faith, the only thing it can produce is good fruits. We talked earlier about the vine and the branch. If we don't want to be cut down and thrown into the fire, we need to be bearing good fruits. We do that by faith. It produces good works, not just wonderful works. It's not just what our opinion of everything is. It's what God has instructed us. The things that God has instructed are good works. The things that man devises are what they refer to as wonderful works. They're all good in their place, but when it comes to our spirituality, it's got to be God's good works. And not only this, but if we live by this faith, it is an outward evidence to all who see us that we're no longer a slave to sin. As I said earlier, we can't serve two masters. We're going to serve one or the other. I've said many times that you can't straddle the fence. You've got to make a decision as to which side you're going to be on. And there's only two. You can choose to be on the side of Satan. But the one thing, rest assured, there's no promises that Satan has ever given us of anything great that has not been a lie. He doesn't promise us a home of heaven. And we find that evident in Genesis. Oh, he assured Eve that, oh, you'll be like gods. And you'll surely not die. But see, that there is an example in itself of the lies and the deceit of our adversary, Satan. Don't give in. Rest assured, if you choose the side of God, you're choosing the right way. It is the only way that leads unto life. It is the only way that we can receive eternal life in heaven, salvation for our souls. If you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, our hope and prayer is that something through God's Word has touched your heart. It's made you realize that the path that I have chosen is not the right path. I need to make a change in my life. I need to make a change in direction. Choose the Lord, and He assures us of His love, His safety, His care, and a final home with Him in heaven. Choose Satan, and we choose death. The only place, and it is evident, is to choose God and His way and have life. So whatever your situation is, whatever your condition is, as I said earlier, I think all of us can say to ourselves that there's room for improvement. Room that I can improve and become stronger in my faith. Let's leave here today working and establishing a stronger faith. So whatever your needs are, we hope and pray that you'll come forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song.